Hello, everyone, on this beautiful Mother's Day. And I say beautiful because somewhere the weather is wonderful, and it's always beautiful in our hearts when we celebrate mom and grandma, all of our great lineage on the female side that rocked the cradle. And we'll get around to celebrating dad in a month or so. But today it's for mom and grandmom and great grandmom and the line that cuddled us when we were sick and fed us, getting us off to school, and well, you know the rest. So we welcome all of you here who are living and present, and all of our beloved ancestors who are present with us from heaven. We send them love, and in turn, they send us blessings. This will be a very special blessing today, and I hope that your heart is open and ready and prepared for it. So we just thought we love you, and we open our hearts to all the love that we received from the moment we arrived on this planet. I think there's a song about "From the Moment I Arrived," but oh no, yeah, it is. It's in The Lion King. I just remembered that. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great song. That'd be a great song to play for Mother. So Nancy, you are queen among us in terms of generational proficiency and the love you've given and earned in return. So why don't you say something about what it's like to be a mom?
Oh gosh, it's such a privilege. Amazing. I want to acknowledge my mom. She was actually the queen. She, had 13 children in 15 years and 42 grandkids, and she was
Oh my
something
goodness.
else. Yeah, she was a unique one and worked hard, but it teaches you everything, really. And it's keeps my heart growing every day, gives me opportunities to see through the eyes of these kids and now these grandkids. And I'm very grateful that I've been given this gift to be mom. So to all the moms out there, our mother-in-laws, and our all the people that have had that influence in our lives, whether it's our blood mother, but it's just amazing the role we women have to nurture and give to these loved ones, our son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws. It just grows and grows. And so thank you, everybody, for being here today, and to all you moms out there. So yeah, Glennon, you're like a mom to all of us.
Oh, good. I like to think that. I had to move along a few generations in time before I could be a mother. But
That's
the
okay.
journey was amazing, and the joy is so fulfilling. So I'm
Thank
here for
you.
you,
You
and
are, and that's what mothers do.
yeah.
You're here all the time for us, so thank you, and we love you, and we appreciate that energy and that space you hold for us in your heart. So thank you. And we've got some callers coming on, Glenda. Do you want to open up a line?
Hey, yes, I think today is a really great day to give a little extra space to our congregation. And then I'll have some messages to go along with that. Okay?
Well, thank you. That sounds perfect. I'm going to open up Elizabeth's line. Elizabeth, we're so happy you're here today.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm happy to be here. I'm just back from my trip to New Orleans, and I just wanted to give a gratitude for how wonderful it was and how I got to see everyone I know and love. It was like a big reunion, and I just want to say how grateful I asked for blessings before I went, and I got them. I got to see people I hadn't seen in ages, and it just all went so smoothly. Everything I thought about, I wanted, it showed up within 5 minutes. people, wow. met some wonderful people. It was just, it lifted my spirit and my soul so much, and I just wanted to say how grateful I am for such a wonderful trip. I'd just like to ask for a blessing because it allowed me to see a dear friend of mine for over 30 years, George French, who's not in terrific physical shape, and he had a surgery while he was there, which went well, and I would ask for blessings for his continued healing and the healing of his family and for his next place. They're looking to get him into an assisted living place, and that takes a lot of paperwork with Medicare and Medicaid and all those, you know, being red tape we have to get through. He's just in a rehabilitation place to learn to walk again, and then he needs to go somewhere. So I'm just asking Yeshua to just smooth the way for all of that, that those involved in it will be in love and grace, and it's all family related, and that can sometimes be a little contentious, as we know. So I just ask, Yeshua knows what needs to be done, so I would ask for a big blessing that everything George needs for his future life will be sorted out in the best possible way. And again, thank you for letting me go to see him, and I visited him in hospital a few times, and that was very good for my heart and soul, and for him to see each other, and it was just all wonderful. So gratitude and a blessing. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Oh, wonderful, Elizabeth, and thanks for sharing that. It brings up an inspiration I think I should add to it, and that is that our special need for mothering can travel through the whole of life. You know, there are times when the need for mothering recurs again and again, either because we are recovering from a stress, a trauma, an illness, or we are now at the other side of the parentheses of life, and we need mothering on our way home. So let's not forget that mothering doesn't end when the baby is sent to school or graduates from high school or college. There are times in the young adult years when we need to let them discover that their wings work. And that's a blissful time for them, and sometimes a sad day for mom. But don't worry, they're going to need you again. So
for sure.
Mom is forever loved. We just go through different seasons with our children and with ourselves as well. So mothering is really a great part of life. It's not just giving birth and holding the baby and seeing them into life. It's a way of life. And I especially honor those who chose to make it an extended way of life. To our teachers, our pediatric nurses and doctors and counselors, and those who work as child care professionals and nannies and babysitters and, you know, if you count the ways we need mom, it's like looking at the stars at night. So for today, you're a star in the daylight.
Love it. Gosh, that's beautiful, Glenda. Thank you, Elizabeth. We're so glad that you called. You know, you said you were there 30 years in a row that you went down?
Yes. Yes, it's been my 30th anniversary. It's my second home. There's something about the south of this country, and it's Louisiana, it's Texas, it's Alabama. There's something about the spirit of the people, their hospitality and just gentle way of being, I find, and strength of being, because Heaven knows the people in Louisiana have been through hurricane after hurricane after hurricane, as you have in Texas, and they just keep coming back, and they've got a strength and a practicality of life that I really love and admire, and they just wrapped me in love, and everyone was just so lovely, and it was easy. I think perhaps New York City can be a little harsh, and so I was just, it was just wonderful, and I'm just so blessed to have had such a beautiful trip with so many wonderful people.
Well, you need to move down here.
Well, that's well, exactly, yes. I nearly did. I was planning to move when Katrina came. Exactly, I was. And then I had a little place in New Orleans and got wiped out by Katrina. You know, yes, I'm thinking about it all again.
What are you doing?
I think something happened to our Q&A. Let's try that again.
Somehow it just clicked off, but I didn't do anything, Nancy. So we're back in Q&A. Nancy, are you there?
I am. So, folks, there just was a weird glitch. I don't know what that was. So there were a few other people in the queue. Elizabeth, we're sorry that you got bumped off. We loved everything you were sharing. And definitely, they're right there with you that whole time because Glenda used to live there, and we were like, gosh, she's been getting to go every single year, so we were in joy for you. So I think you carried us with you and had such a wonderful time. So please, we had, I think Nancy was in the queue and maybe Stormy. So apologize for that, folks. If you want to just jump back in, that'd be great.
Here we go.
Hi, Nancy.
There we go.
Yeah.
I was putting myself back into the queue. That was interesting. Anyway, I'm sitting here watching the birds. I have a mountain laurel. I mean, a mountain blue jay and a cardinal couple and a bunch of sparrows that are now blown away because they hear me talking. But I heard from my sister the spots had gone down, the three that they knew of. However, there are now two more. So she's going to be sent to, hopefully, MD Anderson in Houston. And so my blessing is the same as Elizabeth's, to make, you know, straight the way and bless those who care and the nurses. And I spent Thursday massaging the nurses at the nursing home that my mother died in. Mom had a wonderful collection of crosses that I gave to those who helped her, and they still have the little angel cross behind their nursing station that mom was, you know, on the hall that mom was in. So today has been great. Thanks and blessings and thankfulness to those who help with the crossings and those who help keep us here. So thank you to all the nurses and caregivers and doctors, and as you know, we go around and get over and do what we do to get everything, you know, keep all this structure together. So and just thank you for being there, y'all, and thank you for just thank you.
We love you.
I also have a friend in Seattle that's in the hospital, Karen, who she had a blood clot so in her leg, and so she's in the hospital. And those who are going through cancer and just having a hard, you know, having an oops moment, like, mm-hmm. well, let's get this done. Those things, you know,
exactly.
Just keep on doing what you're doing there, Lord, and bring angels. And I know our angels are always with us and holding us and keeping us together and getting in the way of other, of all the, I know that mine are bruised, my little angels are bruised. So thank you.
I don't think they are. I don't think angels get bruised, honey. So don't worry about it. Just let them do their job.
They usually sit there and go, what are you doing now?
So, no, they don't. So, yeah. No, they don't. They know you're doing the best you can. And that's
but,
all we can ask of anybody. Just do the best you can. And life will take care of the rest. Nobody's
and I love
perfect,
your and I love your message last week. I love your message last week. It is true. There's a lot of people that worship what is here, but
mm-hmm.
you know, God kind of made, you know, God got it going, but it's us. This is what we create. And what we do and things that, you know, we create this. And so, you know, we create our lives and we create, stuff to help our souls get a little bit better. But we should, what is here is so transitory. It's here and then it's gone. Oh, and thank you for the possum. The possum showed up the other night, and I got him. Thank goodness. I'm so glad I've got
oh,
a
really?
Possum. Yes, I've got a possum. He started off really, really small, but, oh, he's gotten so big, I call him Ghost, because he has a white face. He's just wonderful.
So it was a baby?
He was a baby, but now he's much bigger. But, yeah,
yeah
he started
fast.
Off as, you know, he started off as a, you know, getting into the cat food, and so I try to put a little bit more cat food in case he needs it. But I'm sure there are plenty of things that he can eat around here. And my cats mm-hmm. don't have fleas because he eats them all. So that's great. And so I'm
yes,
you know, yes, it's great. And so I all the animals that I keep an eye out for, you know, have shown up, and I'm just so happy. So, yeah, God, you know, but anyway, I'm so grateful for God, and, you know, and he's much bigger than what I can perceive, and so, yeah, yay, thank you.
Yeah, the best we can do is immerse ourselves in the presence of God. We can't define God. We can't. And who would want to limit the creator of the universe to some idea that we would generate? Any
right.
idea we could generate is going to fall so short. So short. That's why we were told, he told Moses, as one of the commandments, don't give me a name, for heaven's sake. You couldn't possibly get the right one.
As soon as they name it or try to define it, then all of a sudden here's something much, much better. Here, have about 14 more galaxies to look at.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, well, anyway, your expressions of love are very precious, and we love you and wish you a wonderful day.
Thank you, Glenda.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you for coming.
You
for being so fun.
Okay. Love you, Nancy. We are opening Stormy's line. Hi, Stormy. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm all over here.
I bet you are.
I want to give a real special blessing for my friend David Gibson called me Saturday to let me know what's going on in his life. And it was just before he was getting ready to go on a talk show, which he teaches people how to do this kind of stuff too. He's a recording engineer by trade. But a couple of days earlier, he had been invited to a wellness expo put on by the local schools. And he had the opportunity to work with 340 children throughout the day. And one of the things that he did was he had a large group of people. He asked them, how many of you do not feel worthwhile? And he says about half of them held up their hand. And he says, well, I'm going to fix that. He gave them a note to sing, which is one of the things that he teaches about. And they all felt worthwhile. What a beautiful experience that David was invited into the public school system at a wellness expo. And he did something special for the first graders, but second through 12th grade, he had them all sing a note. And, a note from me that you can wake up in the morning and you don't have to sing the exact same note that David gave. And he would teach this, that you can sing your own note, but we all have our own individual note, and it can change throughout the day. But the fact that he was able to have 340 children feel the worth of themselves just by singing one note because he said so. And this is, it just warms my heart that David calls me and lets me know what's going on in his life. Got a new girlfriend he's really excited about, and just new things happening in the world that he's working in. And I just thought that would be a special blessing for Mother's Day. That
It is. Anything we can give our children is something that would warm the heart of a mother.
You know, one of the most beautiful songs you can ever be singing, you can ever receive, is the song that your mother sings to you when you were a child. And my mother sang quite beautifully. And I just want to remember all the mothers who sing for their children. I thought I'd throw that in today.
Well, what was the song your mother sang for you?
Oh, many different songs. Mom was just always singing all the time.
Okay. You don't have a favorite.
No, just many, many different songs. Remember my grandmother's song that she played on the piano that I always remembered and asked her to play for me. Easter Parade.
That's
the song that came out. The song that came out of Fred Astaire and Julie Garland that they sang at the very end of the movie. My grandmother used to sing that all the time, and I remember that one.
That's quite a lovely one. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Stormy, you always brighten our day, and we thank you so much for that. You are a family member that sometimes holds the role of a mother. And that brings up another subject, that you don't have to be born female to mother someone. Mothering is a way of the heart. And gender is usually an applicable state of being, because it accompanies most of the classic roles of primary motherhood. But through life, you know, we're all both male and female. And sometimes there are men among us who really want to cultivate the female side of their being. There's no better way to do that than just to practice mothering someone. And it could be a pet. It could be wildlife. It could be the environment. It could be a children's choir, or actually even an adult choir, where you take charge of the needs of people to discover their voice and to be in their voice. It's, like I said, it's a way of nurturing, a way of being. And for all you ladies, which would include me, who did not have a biological child, there are so many ways you can mother. And we honor the mother in you. And it goes for the grandparents, the grandpa, the father, who is also a mother, and that mothering side that each of us can discover. So this is a day when we can actually look for how we do that and celebrate the ways in which we do that. And thank you, Stormy. You're always an inspiration, and you come up with the most unusual ways to contribute. So when we're looking for a salad bar with something different on it, we go to Stormy's Salad Bar, and we're never disappointed.
I'm always sweet and good. That's that nature. I've also had the opportunity to teach many women how to be mothers.
Yeah. It's not something that comes naturally, actually. It does for some women, but you know.
My wife wasn't that good of a mother until after we got divorced, and I taught her some things, and afterwards she started being the way that I wanted her to be when we were married, and she really got into more mothering than she did when we were married. That's the way it works a lot of times, and we all support each other, whether we're married or not, but we support, and I have that insight and knowing to be able to facilitate on so many levels. And we're going to bless you as a mother of humanity, Glenda.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Stormy. Oh, that touches my heart very deeply.
All right. And
I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you, Stormy. I'm going to open up a line. Let's see. That was Nancy. Our queue is open, so folks, please join us. We've got a lot of you here today that we haven't heard from in a while. If you have any special needs or something you want to share, a delight, something wonderful about your own mom, we'd love to hear from you, Glenda. We've got open line, so you're welcome to just have the floor here until we get community member.
I will. I have not gotten the message from upstairs on what I'm exactly supposed to say today. I'm waiting for that. So I'll tell you about my mom, who was an extraordinary woman. I don't have time to tell you her entire story, but she was born at the beginning of the 20th century, in 1908, on a farm, grew up as a farm girl, and knew just about everything she could do, anyone would do on a farm, and very, very good at it. And as a little girl, she learned to make her own clothes. My grandparents were... they had land, and they had a certain level of prosperity that took care of 12 kids. So my mom grew up in a big family, but they never had a lot of surplus that they would spend on clothing or refinery. They just always had a good table of food, a warm house, and land to work, that sort of thing. So mom really learned from the beginning how to live with God's creation. And one of the things She taught me as a child, and this was before, or this was way before there was emphasis and thoughts about organic gardening, because it really wasn't necessary back in the early part of her life. I mean, nobody used chemicals on the land. Nobody sprayed the plants with chemicals. They go out with a hoe, and they would hoe out the weeds, you know. And as I used, they had livestock that would deposit the fertilizer on the land. It was all quite natural. But when I would have a little bit of an upset tummy, or something was not serious, like coming down with a cold, or maybe even coming down with a flu, but nothing that would require a doctor, she would tell me, eat something that God created, and God will go to work inside you. She would bring me an orange, and then she would say, now eat this orange, and just think you're taking God inside your body. He's going to find out exactly what needs to be fixed and healed. And she would say, be sure and wash the fruit off before you eat it, and say a prayer on it. And she said, this is why we pray at the table, to make sure that it's God's creation that we eat. That's the best explanation I ever heard in my life about why we pray at the table. Well, yes, we are grateful to have the food, but we're instinctively grateful for that anyway, and we express the gratitude by just coming to the table with clean hands and a friendly attitude and our appetite and joyful spirit. But pray, well, that's a little more. And she said, that makes sure you're eating what God created. And even if there's a little bit of dust or human contact left on it, only God will be there after you pray. You eat what God created, and he will make you whole. And she once was emphasizing that, and she read the passage in Genesis where God showed Adam and Eve, the trees and the plants and everything he created. And he said, this is your food. This is your medicine. And as a little girl, what thought came to mind was, yeah, but how do we know that something is medicine? And what's it medicine for? And how do we know which food is the best food? You know, that little girl with 100 questions. 100 more questions than good sense. And her comment to me when I was a child that eat what God created and he will heal you, that finally made sense, totally. And I woke up this morning and I didn't feel well. very dizzy on my feet, and I couldn't imagine why in the world. I felt so good when I went to bed last night. What in the world is this? And I sat down to have some coffee, and I still didn't feel well, dizzy and lightheaded and light on my feet. And I thought, oh, I got to get over this. What in the world do I do? And I saw an orange inside my refrigerator, and it was an organic orange. And I sliced it up and ate it slice by slice. And I said my prayer, and I felt God go inside my body within 5 minutes. It was, all the problem was gone. I was totally well, totally strong on my feet, no dizziness. I was healed. And so that's a little string in the forest I'm giving to you that I pulled years and years and decades back from my mom, going back to when she was a farm girl and they prayed over their food. She was a very godly woman. Christian, yes, of course. That's the way. That's the only form of godly you would find in the southern United States in the early 20th century. But she could have actually found God in any religion, I really believe. Later on in life, she took, we had 14 acres of extra land, and she didn't want to turn it, she didn't want to do anything that would involve chemicals or that would destroy the land. And she said, you know, I want to turn this into a garden. And, well, at the time she said that, let me give you some perspective on this. She was 65 years old, okay? 65 years old, going to turn 14 acres into a garden. That's the strength my mother had. And she did. She did. She had a great incentive to do that a few years. She was already working on it, but because I announced my engagement to my first husband. And she said, you're going to be married in this garden. And she took about an acre of it and turned it into my wedding garden. And she did that within less than a year. So it was gorgeous. I did a painting about that. It's called The Wedding Garden. And it's online. If you're curious about it, you can find it. And then she wanted to develop the rest of the land. And she looked at the fact that we have a creek going through it, and there'd been a lot of erosion for that, but it was a beautiful creek, and the trees were gorgeous. And she thought, you know, I need to turn this into a Japanese garden. Now, we're talking about a woman born in Godley, Texas. I mean, really, there's a town named that, on a farm with a Pentecostal Christian background, going to create a Japanese Zen garden in Weatherford, Texas, where every spiritual person was just born Christian, lived Christian, was in one of the many different Christian churches, and she's going to create a Japanese Zen garden. Well, that was my mom. She could find God in anything. And I think it's no accident, no miracle that I was given her for my mother, because that's what she taught me, is that I can actually find God in anything, and I can. And that has seen me through all the days of my art creation. I look for the God in it, and then it just turns out to be miraculously beautiful or amazing or wonderful, and then I am sent the Son of God to paint. And how do I do this? Well, from the time I was given inspiration to do it, the one thing I would not do is copy previous artworks that had been created about him. Not because there was anything wrong with them, but because they weren't right enough to be replicated. They were created to illustrate stories in the Bible. And the creators of that were just following protocol for what he probably might have looked like. And so they went with the most iconic, common concepts of what a Jew should look like, which really had nothing to do and no relevance with the way the Hebraic people looked 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, because 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, that was the New York City of those days, which is why Rome wanted it. That's why Rome wanted it. It was the trade center of the world. And if you've ever wondered, well, why would Rome go to such an extent to dominate a small minority of people in a distant land? Well, my friends, it was distant from Rome, but it was the hub for the rest of the trading, producing, civilized world. It was the trade center of the world. There was every race of people there, and they didn't all keep their racial lines pure. There were many interracial types. And there were many different there was a convergence of faith, religions, and spiritual beliefs in Jerusalem. So why would God prepare a woman there to whom he would send his spirit to be present in the world? Well, if you had a message to get out to the world today, where would you send it? Well, probably wherever the hub of the internet is. And that's not to say the internet is holy. It's not. But it would serve as a hub for getting a communication out. Jerusalem was that hub. And it also had a lineage of people devoted to God. And that was what the Jewish nationality and race was prepared to do, to be a people who stood with God in his holiness, to celebrate his holiness. Okay. So we can only celebrate the wisdom of our Heavenly Father in everything he does. And I was brought to the edge of why have I been called to do this? What shall I do? And how can I honor the calling without compromising the few legitimate objections I have to repeating a history of art that doesn't really need to be repeated? He had been painted by the greatest artist that ever lived. Paintings in the Vatican, paintings in on the Sistine ceiling, paintings in the Louvre, in all the great museums of the world. He doesn't need me to make another replica of all these traditions. What in the name of God am I being called to do? Well, my mother taught me, if you have doubts about doing something, don't do it until something comes and makes you feel right. Do not proceed in life on a doubt. Doubts are there for a reason. And I think following her advice on that has been one of the pillars of success I had in my life. Is that if I have doubts about something, I just don't do it. I'll give you a good example there. When I was in graduate school, I worked for a museum as an assistant to the director, and this was going to be one of the preeminent art museums in the world. It had been started off with $500 million, B with a B. Billion with a B, dollar collection, and a $50 million liquid donation to extend that collection, and the cost of one of the great architects of the world. So we're talking about a big deal here. And I just walked in. I was an art history major in college, and I just walked in. I thought, well, maybe I could get – they were still building the building, and we were in the downtown club collect high-rise club building of the city, okay, doing the executive work for the museum. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I could just organize the filing cabinet, you know, just do something. And they'd probably rather have an art history student than somebody who didn't appreciate what they were doing. And so I did get actually hired as the assistant librarian for 6 weeks until I had a personal meeting with the director. And he told the librarian, you got to find somebody else. She's coming to work for me. And so I worked for the director for the rest of the summer. Came back the next summer, and he promoted me to assistant curator. And before the summer was over, he offered me the first curatorial job of that museum, I was going to be going around the world buying art for that museum. What a plum of a job for an art history graduate just getting my master's degree. And I felt like I was in an earthquake with one leg on one side of the canyon and the other leg on the other side of the canyon, and I was shaky. I thought, I'm not up to this job. I don't know why I've been asked for this job. I know I could turn it to my benefit, yes, but it doesn't feel right. And I actually said no. I turned it down. There's not one in a million people that would turn down an offer like that when they were getting ready to get a master's degree in art history. But the one thing that caused me to turn it down was what my mother said. She said, if you have doubts about anything, don't do it. I followed her advice, and the rest of my life just fell into place following her advice again and again. And I thought that was relevant because it does lead me up to how I actually resolved painting The Lamb and the Lion. I went into that with great doubts. And I thought, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do this because I'm listening to my mom. And she is actually the most devout Christian I've ever known. And she wouldn't tell me not to paint Christ. So I got to follow her advice. I sat down at the dining room table late in the day on a cloudy, dark November day with the lights out, and I began to pray. And my prayer was, oh, Lord, please tell me why I'm having these doubts. And clear my mind and tell me not to do this if I'm not supposed to do this. Because I cannot say no to Jesus. I'm not sure that he's the one who called me. That's my problem. I said to my Heavenly Father, I said, that's my problem. So I want to know from you, am I supposed to do this? And I kind of fell asleep on my hands on the table. And I was awakened by the brightest light I have ever seen in this world, on this planet. It was a white light that did not cast any shadows, which meant it was coming from the substance of the room itself. It was coming from the substance of the table, the substance of my body, the substance of everything. But there was a center to that light I could look into. And it just said, behold. Well, that was the beginning. And I knew that was the presence of the Holy Spirit. It came to resolve my issue, my doubt. And my friends, I want to tell you how important it was that I actually listened to my mother and honored my doubt so that I could get it correctly cleared up. Because in the days ahead, I can't begin to tell you how many, I would say micro doubts, not big ones, just the micro sized doubts, like, what paint am I supposed to use? You know, or is this exactly how I'm supposed to paint the bridge? You know, micro doubts, but they never got to me. Those little micro doubts that could have flooded my mind, my heart, that could have kept me from completing the painting, all got washed. They just got blown away the minute I looked at them. It's like, no, I'm doing this, and I'm doing the right thing, and I will be shown everything I need to do. Even the glow over his head, it had to come from a kind of paint that I thought I couldn't possibly find in my local area. What I wanted is I wanted the equivalent of a halo, but I didn't want to be painting yellow light around his head. That would have looked cartoonish. It would have looked silly. Not to say that he couldn't have a yellow glow around his head. He could do anything, but still, I wanted it to be that kind of radiance like I saw on that first day when the light came. You know, that silvery radiance that just makes everything glow. And it was only one paint that could do it. And it was extremely expensive if I could find it. And I might have to order it from a specialty art store in New York City, which might take weeks to get. Well, I went on Monday, I went to a local art supply store, and I told them that I was looking for Aurelian. It was used to create auras of life. And they said, oh, you know, we heard of that. Wait just a minute. You know, there was a salesman that came in here last week, and he demonstrated that, and he said, look, you can keep it because it's so expensive, nobody around here would buy it. And I said, and he left it? And she said, yeah, he did. You can have it for $12. Oh, my goodness. Okay, yes, everything will be supplied. So my my doubts one by one were cured. And that, pardon me just a second while I get a drink. Just a minute. And that was pretty much the end of my various and sundry temptations to doubt came up. The painting was finished. And, well, the rest is history. But I think you know, I think you can imagine that as I took it out to the world, I would be confronted with many, many questions and many doubts from other people that, is this really him? Is this really an authentic experience? And I have to live through that. So the fact that I honored her advice so much the way through this made all the difference. So she's a big part of why you have what you have today in the way of our ministry and our church. Oh, and one last thing I'll say about it. About 3 days, I think, after the painting was finished, and it was hanging on my living room wall. We didn't have it framed yet. But it didn't need a frame. It was so complete and so grand in itself. I invited my mother over to unveil the painting for her. And she melted into the sofa in tears when she saw it. And she says, thank you, God. I have prayed all the days of her life that she would do this. So that's a blessing from my mom to you. She's part of this today. I didn't really know. I really didn't know I was going to say this today. You probably remember from about 20 minutes back, I said, well, he hasn't revealed what he wants me to say today yet. And then it just rolled out, and there it was. So
thank you, Glenda.
The perfect Mother's Day message.
It really is, Glenda. Thank you for sharing a piece of her with us, because, boy, it sure explains a lot about your own strength and your work ethic and just everything. It just, you know, I would have loved to have met her, you know.
You would have. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh. I mean, she was really ahead of her time with all.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
right.
She he and Gary would have talked for hours on what to do with that land.
Honestly, I mean, what woman can turn 14 acres in her 60s? I mean, yeah, she was a force.
She was working the land at 92. She made her transition at 93.
Wow.
And she escaped the nursing home three times mm-hmm. to try to walk back to her land and work on it.
Wow. Well, we're all blessed for her.
She was a force to deal with.
Yeah, she sure was, and she passed it on to her daughter. You know, she's in you, and she's with you, and isn't that a beautiful thing, you know, that they're still with us in such a, you know.
Yeah, that's it, and I thought you would all see that she's right here with us right now, and let that be a little bit of encouragement for you and everyone. That we continue to live through the generations. You know, this is a message that God gave to Abraham. He said, your offspring will populate the world and you will live through them. And, you know, I think that Mary's life, the mother Mary, her life mm-hmm. was prepared probably from the beginning, but at least from the time of King David, because her lineage traces directly back to that era. And the preparation for her life really began in that era. So you guys have no idea. I'm talking to the men as well, all of us. Because even if you don't have biological children, you are a parent to the next generation. You are. We all are parents to the next generation. And God loves them. They need parenting. I don't know of any generation that has needed more parenting because of so much conflict in the world.
Amen.
So much doubt that's being put in their minds. That they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be a rock that they stand on. I really felt that this is why my generation came into the world in such a huge force. You know, we came in like an army, the largest single birthing generation ever. And there was a commonality that we held one to another. And that was that we came here to honor our heritage and provide a foundation for the future. And I think it was that we had many different ways of expressing that, but I think it was a commonality that our generation held. And even to this day, we're doing our best to stay healthy, doing our best to stay strong, to stay at work, and to be there for the children to come, because we have an opportunity, all of us, to turn the corner on where this world could have been headed. But we can turn the corner.
Amen. We sure can. Thank you, Glenda. Gosh, what a gift today. Thank you for that blessing with your mom and the whole story of the painting. And I know that everybody's been really touched today.
Yeah, well, you know, everything has been part, I'm speaking to everyone now, everything that's been part of your life comes forth with you. You really, really don't ever leave anything behind. Not even the things that didn't work, because those are the things you learn the most from. And the things that did work, well, they just kind of get digested by your soul, and they become an expression of who you are. But the things that didn't work keep knocking on us on our door until we learn the lesson. So learn the lesson, and then they go to sleep. It's really pretty simple. Learn the lessons and the process, and then the problems go to sleep. Well, we are actually at our 4 o'clock time.
We are, right.
Yeah. And I didn't know that I was going to fill the clock up today, but it was really an honor to be able to speak to you and share these beautiful memories of my life and how they brought me here to this moment. So
thank you,
Mom. And let's get ready for our blessing, everybody. I'm going to put us into our silent mode. If you can stand, I would like you to stand with me. And let's stretch together, okay? If you can't stand, that's okay. Get in a truly comfortable position where you can extend your arms and your legs. Even if you're in bed, you can lift your leg and wiggle your toes and move your arms and your shoulders. Do whatever you can and try your best to mimic what I'm going to suggest to those who can stand. We are going to start with our legs because we're going to draw energy up from the earth. That's an energy your body is very familiar with because you came from the earth. You eat the products of the earth. You walk on it. You anchor your life in it. So let's get that very familiar form of energy flowing and clear. And so what we're going to do, hold something, the back of a chair, or if you're yoga trained, you don't have to hold anything, but for most of us, and I'm holding the mantle on my fireplace, I want you to just swing your right leg forward a little bit. It doesn't have to be way up. And then you make a little windmill out of it because this clears the passage from the base of your foot to your hip. It makes that connection with the earth more vital and then moves it into the center of your body. Okay, now do it with, let's reverse directions on that. Whatever direction you were going in, go in the opposite direction. Just a couple of spins, that's fine. Okay, now let's do it with the other leg. Lift it out and make a little windmill out of it and try to keep your body as straight as you can. Okay, switch directions. Okay. I'm going to take a deep breath through your nose and out through your mouth. Okay. And let that relax your shoulders because that's important. That's where we're moving. We're moving up. And we want to take the energy that you moved into your pelvic region, and we want to turn your hips a little to the right and then to the left, okay, and back to the right. We're going to repeat this about 3 times, okay? So that way you're getting the base of your spine engaged in the flow, and you're going to bend over just a little bit, okay? And then swing back just a little bit. Even 2 inches makes a difference, makes a huge difference. Okay. Okay. And now tilt your body over to the right. Tilt your body over to the left because that's going to start stretching your ribs. See, we're moving up. We're going to stretch our ribs. Okay, now that we've stretched our ribs, let's take another really deep breath. In through the nose. Out through the mouth. Okay, good. Good work. All right. Now, shake those shoulders. Just shake them. Mm. And move your shoulders around. Just, you know, we want to open that whole shoulder area because that's where you accumulate probably the most stress in your day. Not necessarily in your life, but in your day. That's where it goes. It goes up to the shoulder region. Well, and why? Well, your arms are probably the most active part of your body during the working part of the day. you know, we do walk around, but then we walk and sit. And then we walk and sit some more, but our arms keep moving, whether it's to make bread or work on the computer or comb our hair. You know, we're doing stuff with our hands and our arms. So let's get this moving. Now, let's take your arms and move it in a windmill. Okay, your right. And then your left. Okay. Move them till it feels good. Now, another deep breath and out. And your head to the right, your head to the left. Okay. Move your head back and then forward. Good. Good. All right. Now, you can sit down again. That's okay. Or continue standing. Either way, whatever feels best for you right now. I'm going to say my prayer to Yeshua. And I would like you during this time to continue your just normal breathing, but focus on it. Focus on your inhale, your pause, and your exhale, and your pause, and your inhale again. Be a little mindful of your breath. Your breath is your life, okay? And your breath will be a part of the blessing you receive, and it's part of how your body expresses itself to ask for what it needs. Your body actually has a language. And that language is breath. You may have noticed the phrases that we say occasionally. It was such a shock it took my breath away. Or it was so wonderful it took my breath away. Or when I heard that, I just had to hold my breath. Or I'm having a panic attack. I'm just breathing so fast I don't know what to do. You know, our breath is not now, but after we finish today, I want you to take just a little time and think about how many ways your breath accompanies every experience, because it does. Your breath is your life. So now, in this moment, just be mindful of how it feels to give breath, pause, take breath, pause, and give breath again. After I finish with my prayer to Yeshua, I would like you to begin your prayer. And your prayer is so important because that's where you ask specifically to our Heavenly Father, Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, however you focus it, you're asking in the most intimate way for what you need and expressing gratitude in the most tender way for all you've received. Beloved Yeshua, Lord of life, Son of God, our Redeemer who has come to remind us of who we are and that we, in our fullness, would be able to do all that you do, which is truly amazing to us. But we proceed in faith, doing the best we can every day, and asking for your divine guidance and your friendship just to sit with us and allow us to have the best friend we ever could have. We thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your patience and your forgiveness, for your encouragement and the opportunities you show to us and the directions that would be beneficial for us, that we will be fulfilled and rewarded if we follow those directions. We thank you so much for everything. And we extend our request for the rest of us, those who couldn't be here and yet they're part of us, those who don't know you yet and yet they're part of us. May we be a light unto them. And we ask on their behalf that their needs be met. For we know that when the needs of anyone are met, they are most likely to use it for goodness. And in that goodness, they discover who they are. Protect our children. Keep them safe. Feed them. Hold them. And help us to honor and realize our motherhood as a generation. That we have given birth to a new generation that has a life of its own to be revealed. For it is the creation of God. And yet, it is an honor to be a parent. We thank you for that privilege, and we ask your help in fulfilling it the best possible way. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Everyone begin your prayer, and blessing givers, will you join me in offering the blessing?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you need to continue receiving. And one of the best ways I know is to get horizontal right now so that no part of your body is greater or above any other part. It's all in a surrender, vulnerable, receiving state. Don't even continue your prayer because words bring dominance to your brain. Just receive. Be a whiteboard upon which God writes. All right? Enjoy. Receive. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.